Good morning. Wonderful to see you here today. How impatient are you to get gone this morning? Sharon, my wife has requested that you play something and I sing something. Do you know through it all, or is that? No? Yes? Well, let's do Love of God then, one or two verses. You know that, don't you? I apologize to you folks. You, and blame it on my wife. It's all her idea. It's good to be here this morning. This is home church to us. And no doubt one of these days we'll be coming back here regularly. So far they haven't thrown me out where I'm at. And the threats are there, but they haven't gotten it done. No, we're not there. Does it not work?
No, it'll work.
It'll work.
I just gotta switch one chord.
What do you want to sing with me, Lydia?
I want to hear you sing. I'm all excited about you and Sharon.
This is more trouble than it's worth. Are we all right? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, how very strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Could we think the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made to write the love of where every man, we're all the ocean. No, the ocean ink. Give me the words, I'm sorry. Okay. This has gotten to be a habit with me, folks. Okay. When hoary time, let's do this one. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love, so pure, will still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace for Adam's the saints and angels. song. Now what could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. Oh, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Do you want to sing with me? Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, how strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Sharon. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about being set free. When we can sneak in the back, if things just happen that way and I have a chance to listen to my son preach, I am always blessed and amazed by his ministry. So endure me today. In 1981, just a few days before he was to go and try out as a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, a young man, 21 years old, by the name of William Dillon, was arrested and put in prison. Maybe playing for the Detroit Tigers would have been worse, I don't know. He was charged with having killed a woman whose body had been found on a beach in Florida. He was near the scene. That's the only thing they had. He had an excellent alibi. There was no way to dispute the truth of that. But a cellmate who had been in prison with him while he was awaiting trial testified that he had confessed to committing the crime. And so he was convicted and put in prison in the state penitentiary of Florida for life. It was 27 years later, start with 1981 and add 27 years to it, which means it was after 2000 in 2008. DNA tests finally proved unequivocally that he was an innocent man. He was set free. Few of us forget the words spoken by Martin Luther King, August 28, 1963. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. Free at last. being set free, delivered, at liberty. One of the things that I always loved to do when our children were very small, got in trouble with for it more than once, I liked to take their shoes off. I liked to watch their toes set free. Just something delightful. I did it a few times with my grandchildren, and only once with one of my great-grandchildren so far. Maybe I'll get away with it again. We'll see. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8 this morning, verses 1 and 2. And I'd like to read a lot more there, but I won't. I may run over a little bit this morning, and I apologize for that, but I want to finish part of what I have to say this morning. Paul writes to the Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It wasn't just that he was set free. There was no condemnation. Verse 2 said, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Drop down to verse number 27 in this same chapter if you have your Bible open. It says, but we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we want to be delivered. We are waiting, Paul writes a little further down, for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then verse 26, and I'll only read just the first phrase of this. In the same way the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, helps us in our weakness. A week ago in Riverdale, I spent some time with the idea that behavior is critical. What we do is important, how we act, the way we behave. And I really wanted to do this message as a follow-up. We talked about the kinds of sins that are not sins that you can be prosecuted for. Things that you have done, things that I have done. Not a matter of prosecution. My guess is that if we go back far enough into our own history, virtually every one of us here today has some event, some experience that we wish, can I put it this way, we wish to God had never happened in our life. We want that it didn't happen, but it did. We don't want anybody to know about it, and we may long to forget it. None of us grew up in perfect families. At least I don't think we did. We grew up in families, and I have a wonderful family for which I am deeply grateful. My mom and dad served God. There was a period of my dad's life when he didn't serve God, when he lived carelessly, got drunk, got in fights, and who knows what else he got into. But when God touched his life, he was transformed, and he was a wonderful, godly example. No doubt the reason that I stand before you today. family events happen that we wish had never happened. Sometimes it's someone else in our life, someone who is responsible for us, a babysitter. On rare occasions, it is a total stranger. Sometimes it's a schoolmate. There are those instances where nothing but fear and pain fill the memory that we have. Whatever happened to us happened in such a way that we want to hate the whole event and the person. More often, there is some private pleasure involved, a titillating secret that we don't want to share with anybody else, that we have held for a long, long time. Not a one of us who doesn't want to be attractive. We work on it as hard as we can, as bad as we need to, but we want to be attractive. It is said that the desire to procreate is second only to the desire to survive as the highest motivation known to mankind. On occasion, either one of those instincts can go haywire, and someone suffers with paranoia, for example, the need to survive until they do even horrendous crimes. Or someone gets their desire for procreation so twisted up that it causes crimes. But far more often, for many, if not most, maybe even all of us, there is some simple episode in the past which we would like to erase as though it had never happened. In some part, curiosity plays a large part in that. Boys with boys, girls with girls, boys with girls, curiosity. I read a recent article that declares that curiosity is the strongest motivation in human nature. I'm not sure I agree with the article, but I mention it to you. Hopefully by the time we're 25 or somewhere, maybe before that or after that, we kind of get life all together, although not necessarily. Now I come to the heart of what I want to share with you today, and the reason I'll be just a little bit long, because I feel like it really needs to be shared. The prison that these experiences, and they can be simple things. Some man that I knew was obsessed with the simplest kind of an event in life. It can be stealing a dollar, as simple as that. It can be stealing a candy bar. It can be an argument, an angry exchange. It can be a sexual experience. It can be all kinds of things that affect us and become a prison to us. Sometimes something that we have no control over. The prison cell that they create is as real as iron bars and stone walls. We're locked in. Eventually, if it hangs on long enough, it seems like Satan has taken the key out of our hand and we can no longer do a single thing about it. It becomes like a 500-pound gorilla or grizzly bear, holding us down with our arms pinned to the ground, and helplessly we scream out for some kind of mercy. What can we do about such things? I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes, hopefully on a practical level. First of all, it does absolutely no good for us to hold on to anger or to get even. Have you ever wanted to get even with somebody that did something to you when you were driving? A man or woman? Just a man or woman? It's been a while back, but I was at Sam's one day and had been looking for a parking place for a while, and I was going up the alley the right direction and about to turn in. And just as I was about to turn in, a lady came in from the opposite side, pulled across her parking place, and took the parking place that should have belonged to me. So, we both go in Sam's. As it happens, I meet her in the aisle. And I say to her, "Well, hello, Arkansas. Where did you get your driver's license?" Not quite that loud. I never told that story until this morning, and I don't know if my wife will ride home with me or not, but anyway, it really did happen, I confess. The problem with getting even and being angry is we make the walls thicker and higher and the bars of steel harder instead of getting free in any sense of the word. There are people probably in your life with whom you really would like to get even. Let's surrender it to God. 2, what has been done has been done. We cannot undo it. In rare instances, amends may be made. When this young man got out of prison, there was a reparation for him. But what would you trade 27 years of your life for? If somebody stood before me today, and if they had stood before me, especially when I was 21, let's go back that far, and they had said to me, "Here is $10 billion. If you will spend 27 years of your life in prison," I would have said, "Forget it." And I would today. Who would trade any amount of money for 27 years of life? What he might have been as a football player or baseball player, I'm sorry. What he might have been as a family man, what he might have experienced with his children and his grandchildren, so much was taken away from him. It doesn't do any good to deny the reality of what happened. It cannot be changed. It is real, but we must surrender it. 3, we must not repeat the story of such experiences over and over and over and over and over and over. That is one of the temptations of such experiences, particularly if they become a prison cell to us. We relive them far, far too many times. And every time we repeat them, they are reinforced. It's like building the wall another foot higher, or another inch thicker, or the bars a little more densely gathered together in the window that might shine light on our life. Tell it to God, but don't tell it to him again and again and again. Jesus, when he gives us the story of the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 7, says this to those he is talking to about prayer: "Do not use vain repetition." Is it all right to talk to God about a need a second time or third time? Yes, it is, but we're not talking about that. We are talking about something that becomes a repetitious practice in our life. And that, again, reinforces the prison, the cell that has been built around us. Number four, these are some solutions. We can refocus through prayer. We can refocus through prayer, particularly through praying for other people and other needs that are not our own. Our lives are refocused in a positive way when we discipline ourselves to pray for others. We can refocus. We can be changed by something we do. Maybe crocheting will save your life and your spirit. Maybe fishing. Let's go fishing. Oh, do I ever love to go fishing sometimes. Woo! I can't wait. In fact, about March, I'll be tying snelling hooks. Not because I need them, but because I'm out fishing. Golfing. Whatever else it is that you may be able to do with your hands, do it. Best of all, help somebody else. Nothing heals or delivers us from bad experiences like helping somebody else, doing something that blesses another person. I would never minimize such events, but the temptation to exaggerate them is disastrous. To add to them, to make them bigger than they are, to exaggerate them, and it just has no end. We never, ever want to do that. Focusing on a tragedy or sin of the past, whether a sin against us or a sin we have committed, destroys our ability to live, keeps us in prison, takes away from us joy, love, and hope. No one ever told that better than John Newton. We should act to prevent or help prevent someone doing the same thing again. There is a young woman, now about 60, whom we once served as pastor, she and her family. And we learned many years ago, about 30 years after this event, that the postman who went by their house, a man whom we also knew, had a habit of going in and fondling her and doing inappropriate things. About 30 years after that event, in the face of the fact that this man was being placed in a position that he should not have been placed, she came forward to tell her story and to prevent it from happening. She didn't do that to get even. She didn't want any money. She did not want him in prison. She only wanted that it would not happen again. That was proper. James 5:20 says, "Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." Six, this is our last point, but it'll take a few minutes. Most important, we can accept the grace and forgiveness of God. That's what this verse in Romans 8 is talking about. Delivered from the bondage of sin and death, to experience the miracle of God's love and grace. The Apostle Paul had a past. We don't know all about that past, and thank God he didn't take time to talk to us a lot about that past. Instead, he wanted to minister to other people. He wanted to share with them the love of God. Oh, he mentions his past, but he doesn't dwell with that. One of the most beautiful phrases or sentences of Scripture ever written is found in 1 Corinthians 6, 11. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, talks about a number of things that will keep them out of heaven. He talks about drunkenness, adultery, fornication, lying, a number of different things. But then he writes these beautiful words in verse number 11. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified, set aside to God. That's what the word means. To set aside to God. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are made just in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's not an adequate, there are not adequate words. And such were some of you. Hallelujah. But you are washed. You are set aside to God. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to do something with me this morning. First of all, I want all of us to repeat together the words, God loves me. Will you say those words with me, please? God loves me. Say it again, please, and mean it. God loves me. We're going to do it once more, and when we say that last word, me, I want you to bring your hands to your own body and declare, God loves me. Let's do it once more. God loves me. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. And then I want you to repeat this with me. I am God's child, and I am set free. Say those words with me, please. I am God's child, and I am set free. Once again, I am God's child, and I am set free. I like this little chorus. I don't know if I can lead it without music today or not, but I want to try. I want you to join. I think you'll know it. Set my spirit free, that I might worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I might praise your name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. Let's do it once more. Set my spirit free that I might worship thee. Set my spirit free that I might praise your name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. Amen. Sorry I'm a little late. Thanks for letting me be here today. God bless you.